Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this Family Bible Study Hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word. Some of the misfits that had deserted, in my opinion, when Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem, rather than fighting and going as God had instructed them to, they headed for the hills, and then they began to filter out. And they weren't going. They wanted to go to Egypt. But they came to Jeremiah and said, go approach God, your God, not our God, your God, and ask him. Kind of giving their thoughts away to Jeremiah. They're not sincere. So he is still instructing them. And as we pick it up in chapter 44, verse 7, let's without further ado, a word of wisdom from our Father, let's go with it. Verse 7 reads, therefore, now, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls? That means yourself. You're destroying yourself, in other words. To cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling, out of Judah, to leave you none to remain. Why do you want to destroy yourselves, worshiping these idols, walking around the streets burning incense the good Lord only knows who, a God on every corner. You know, our Father, in as much as he gave us everything, he expects us to be thankful to him, not some object that he created. He doesn't like it at all. And where it states here, this evil to your own souls, that means we're talking here eternity, yea or nay. You're not going to make it. That's what he's saying. You're destroying yourselves. Not just your flesh body, but your eternal hope. Verse 8, in that you provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither you be gone to dwell, that you might cut yourselves off, and that you might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. I find you, what God is saying, I kind of find you disgusting. Here he had pleaded with them, made a path whereby they could have blessings, and this is what they chose. I don't know. Do you ever take inventory in your life and wonder, are you pleasing to God? It makes a big difference, my friend. If you're pleasing to God, he'll be pleased with you, and you will be blessed. But you do as these are doing, burning incense to objects and other gods, he doesn't like it at all. 9. Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers and the wickedness of the kings of Judah and the wickedness of their wives and your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, burning incense to other gods and not worshiping me, not appreciating me, not loving me, which is what he really wanted. Verse 10, they are not humbled even unto this day, neither have they feared nor walked in my law nor my statutes, probably don't even know the difference between law and statutes, that I set before you and before your fathers, gave them to you. Do you know, many would say, well, that law is sure tough and it's hard. No, it keeps you out of trouble. It keeps you on the right track. It's the best thing that ever happened to man. Law is not bad, man is. Okay? Statutes are not bad, man is. Verse 11, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, full title, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judah. Now put some parameters on this. Who is he talking to? Rightly divide the word of God. It's important. Not the whole tribe of Judah, because you've got Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego up serving the Lord in Babylon, where God sent them and they dwell, and many others. This is that little handful of scallywags that didn't go to Babylon, but went off against God's plan down to Egypt, all right? That part of Judah. Verse 12, and I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there. God himself puts the parameters. And they shall all be consumed. How many all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt? They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest by the sword and by the famine. And they shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. Unfit. Just, I mean, a bunch of no goods, a mountain nothings. Think about it, friend. How did they come to that place? Disobeying God, not caring. Their word meant a lot more to them than God's advice, okay? Thus destroying their own souls. Verse 13, for I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem. Just look back what happened to it. By the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. It's going to happen to you. 14, so that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah. They're not going to make it. To the which they have a desire to return to dwell there, for none shall return but such as shall escape. Do you know what this such shall as escape? Because Jeremiah and the daughters of Zedekiah didn't go there willingly. They had a choice and were allowed the choice, but Nebuchadnezzar is going to allow them to escape, and they're going to escape to Great Britain. I'll be showing you to Ireland and Scotland. I'll be showing you a documentary on that that documents it historically in a very short time. Verse 15. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, they all participated. The men participated too, don't kid yourself. Even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt in Pathros answered Jeremiah, saying, here come, they ask him to go ask. And here's what they're going to say to him. 16, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us, in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. We're not going to listen to you. They're calling him a false prophet, okay? Well, he's a prophet chosen by God before he ever entered his mother's womb. Verse 17, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done. We've been doing it. We and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, for then had we plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil, long as we sacrificed to the Queen of Heaven. You know, many of you might say, well, thank goodness we don't have anything to do with that at all. Do you know who the Queen of Heaven is? The Queen of Heaven is Ishtar. Do people burn incense to Ishtar? Well, when the translators took the word Passover in the book of Acts and mistranslated it to Ishtar to draw the spring festival that took place, paying homage and burning incense and rolling eggs to Ishtar or Easter, which has nothing whatsoever to do with God's word, And then people say, it's harmless. Well, did God think it was harmless? I mean, do you understand what those eggs symbolize? That's fertility. There were sexual orgies took place in the timber where they rolled the eggs to Ishtar, the fertility goddess, and quick like bunnies, like rabbits, for their ability to recreate, to multiply, I should say. And you have nothing to do with it. You might think, you might take inventory, and many are going to say, well, how could that be? Most Christians celebrate Ishtar. You got that right, and Father's eyes tear up because of it. Because it doesn't take much of a scholar to go to the Greek manuscripts in the book of Acts where the word Easter is placed in the King James Bible, and go back to the Greek manuscripts. Your Strong's Concordance will do it. Any set of manuscripts in the Greek, and you'll find it's Passover, Paschal. And who became your Passover? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Christ is our Passover, not our Ishtar, to have a fertility rite. Where does it say that in Christ's name you should go out and have fertility rites to Ishtar in the spring? Well, why do people do it? Well, I could say because of ignorance, and I would be accurate. But that sounds kind of hard, but how else could you say it? When a child can document from the manuscripts who this Queen of Heaven is, no big deal, okay? How did it work itself into the Christian church? Well, just like people not paying attention, listening to man. Do you remember what it said way back? I repeated it time after time after time. Chapter 17, verse 5. Listen to it again after that verse. This is chapter 17, verse 5 of Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord. This is the Lord's voice, the Lord speaking. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Well, how could rolling Easter eggs be departing from the Lord? Because it's not of God. It's pretty obvious from the scripture that it ticks him off. It makes his wrath boil. But hey, whatever you must do, you go ahead, you do it. But rest assured, God will judge you for it, period. So long as we sacrifice to Ishtar, the little queen of heaven, not God himself, not the sun even, but Ishtar, we done real good. Okay, 18. But since we left off to burn incense to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, Ishtar, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. We've had trouble ever since we stopped sacrificing to the Easter eggs and rolling them in the Queen of Heaven, the little cakes, you know, of fertility. Oh, you know, what did God tell them just a moment ago? I read it. He said, why do you want to destroy your own souls? You don't listen to me. You do what comes out of your own mouth. Well, we just like to roll Easter eggs. Oh, do you? Well, hey, have a good day, friend. But people bring trouble on themselves and then try to blame God for it. That won't fly, friend. God gives ample warning throughout his word. Especially, again, I'll repeat it, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, Christ is our Passover. Not a basket of eggs, not some heathenistic ritual, Queen of Heaven or Ishtar. Verse 19. And these scallywags continue to talk to destroy themselves. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven, Ishtar, and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her? and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? And they said, we worshiped her on our own, but hey, their men knew all about it. Don't worry. They were 100% for it. You might even see a preacher carrying one of them little colored baskets for the little children. Verse 20. Then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women, excluding no one, and to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, what was their answer? We're going to do what we want to do. We're going to bake our cakes and roll our eggs, okay? Verse 21, this is what he said. The incense that you burned in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? And came it not into his mind? God knew it also. That's why he destroyed it. That's why he allowed his servant Nebuchadnezzar to take them all captive. Maybe they would grow up. Maybe they would learn to listen to God. Verse 22. So that the Lord could no longer bear. You got it? He has feelings. He couldn't stand it any longer. The Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant as at this day. You know, you can refer back to Daniel and find the same thing, okay, in chapter 11. Now listen to me. What is this symbolic of, and what is the lesson for you today? You want to follow our Heavenly Father, for the King of Babylon is coming again. It is written that you're going to be delivered up before him, and the Holy Spirit will speak through you, the very synagogue of Satan, as it's written in Mark 13, Matthew 24. I'm quoting New Testament, hello, Luke 21. And the fact that you're not supposed to run, to hide, but to be the man or woman or child of God that you are. And perhaps some of these people that are misled and are even worshiping this one, this false Christ, thinking he is Christ, that you might pull some of them out of the fire. Because it wouldn't be you talking, but the Holy Spirit. That's what this, it's checking your okra just a little bit, friend. Do you have knowledge? Do you have wisdom? You can't serve lies and falsehoods and heathenism and serve God at the same time. Well, it's harmless. No, it isn't. What did it say? You should never forget verse 22. So that the Lord could no longer bear it. That day is coming. He has feelings, and they get hurt. How would you feel if you provided everything for your family, everything in the world they need, plenty, and then they go out here and dream up a bunch of malarkey and worship somebody that is nothing in the world to them but something to get them into trouble? How would you feel about it? Well, that's the way God feels about it. He can't hardly bear it. What do you do with children like that? He's going to get rid of some of them so that they don't lead others astray. Why? He loves his children. I don't know. Do you have a destiny? Have you known there was more to God's word than you've been taught since you were a child? You know, our Father loves his children. Don't hurt his feelings, and you'll be certainly blessed. But and you go ahead and go and say, I don't care what God has to say. I'm going to do it my own way. Well, hey, have a good trip, friend. We're going to miss you, maybe. 23. Because ye have burned incense, and because you have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies, therefore this evil has happened unto you as at this day. Not because you stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven, Easter. That had nothing to do with it. It's because you weren't living right before Almighty God. That's why it falls upon you. 24. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. There's the parameter again. 25. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths, not God's word, your mouth, and fulfilled with your hand, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, Ishtar, and to pour out drink offerings unto her. You will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. They're going to do it. They still do. Enjoy, friend. But someday wake up and understand that God can hardly stand it. It hurts him. 26. Therefore, hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt, ye that are misled, bunch of skellywags, never study the word chapter by chapter and verse by verse to hear clearly what saith the Lord, but listen to a bunch of revolving reds. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my house shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. I'm not going to hear you anymore. I'm tired of it. God reaches a point, my friend, where you, if you want, what he's saying here, hey, if you want to go play with the Queen of Heaven, Ishtar, have a good trip. I'm through with you. It's pretty final and it's pretty clear. Verse 27, behold, I will watch over them, all right. I'll watch over them for evil and not for good. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt, you don't belong here, God told you not to come here, shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. They're all spiritually deader than a hammer. And that is the end of them. When you're spiritually dead, your eternal life is cut off for that time period until you have a change. And if you don't have a change, it's final. God puts up with it as long as he can stand it. And when he can stand it no longer, have a good trip. You're not going to enjoy it, but have a good trip. Verse 28. Yet a small number that escaped the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah. And all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose word shall stand. Mine are theirs. Mine are theirs. Okay? Now, naturally, what he's talking about here is the king's daughters. They didn't participate in any of this. They followed Jeremiah. He was like a father to them. It would be Jeremiah who would take... This is history, friend. It's not hidden under some rock somewhere. And as you've heard me say, and as you will see, probably sometime in this coming week, you will see that one of these daughters, named Scotta, would be the queen of Scotland. Not this queen of heaven, the Ishtar, but actually one of the queens that would set in motion the kingship that would bring forth the King James Bible, where that an English-speaking person or anyone else would have readily the word of God, what thus saith the Lord God. That was God's plan. It came to pass. And today you have the letter written because God saved a few that didn't make the little toast to the Queen of Heaven rolling fertility eggs or quick like bunnies or making their little cakes. It's pretty final. It's cut and it's dried. No more need be said. Verse 29. And this shall be a sign unto you. You got it? This shall be a sign unto you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place. That's Egypt. That you may know that my word shall surely stand against you for evil. You're not going to make it. Okay. Verse 30. And you might say, well, I thought God had patience. Verse 22, so that the Lord could no longer bear it. You think he's going to let them rub their face in it over and over and over? Forget it, friend. He is Yahweh. He is the living God. Verse 30. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Phel-Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies. I'm going to let Nebuchadnezzar come in here and take you. And into the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, that's the father of these daughters that Jeremiah has with him, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, and that sought his life. Now, it is not recorded in God's word. God said it. God always keeps his word. But you will find it in history. And as I told you once before, you will find it in the antiquities of the book of Josephus, in the 10th antiquity, verses 9 and 10, whereby Nebuchadnezzar fulfilled what, well, he was God's servant. And God used him to accomplish what he said. He couldn't handle it any longer. He couldn't bear it. You know, God is very patient. And he is so very, very forgiving. 7 times 70, 490 times. But there comes a time when you just don't pay any attention, and you must follow heathenism rather than the simplicity in which God brings truth forth that is pleasing to him. And if you just don't care what pleases God, then go on with your Queen of Heaven. Go on with Ishtar and see where you end up. It is written, and it shall come to pass exactly as it's written. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people, there is a first resurrection and there is a second resurrection. And a lot of people that call themselves Christian are not going to make the first cut. Hopefully they will take part in the second resurrection, but the way they're going now, they will be so disappointed they'll pray for the mountains to fall on them when they realize they've been in the sack with Satan, thinking he was Jesus. Participating in the great wedding, there's just one problem. It was the wrong one. The false Christ comes first at the sixth trump. A child can read that and understand it. The true Christ returns at the seventh. You do realize that seven comes after six. You know, a child can understand that also. I'm just making friends and influencing people, but I want you to give it a serious thought and realize that God loves his children. He's got lots of patience. But you can't push him until he won't take it any longer. He'll move you to the side. He'll look up after you, all right, not for good. And he said, you just go ahead. You try, those that like to play Ishtar, see how their word goes against mine. And you'll find out right real quick. So, I don't know, there was never a better warning given in our Father's word as to which side of the fence you should be on. It's God's. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse. You know, if God starts a subject, don't let some man change it. Stick to the subject. That way you have the simplicity in which God teaches. Otherwise, you can add to it or take away from it or jump in the middle and have confusion of man, confusion of faces, confusion of faces to the point that they don't even know who they are. It doesn't take very long for someone from Scotland of that descent to know who they are or where they're from. Okay, enough said. It applies to a lot of people. Chapter 45, verse 1. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch the son of Neriah. This is to his own secretary. Okay. When he had written these words in the book at the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, now bear in mind what we did here. We went back several years, okay, We're all the way back to the time this word was delivered, all the way back to the time of Jehoiakim, okay? He's long gone, Jehoiakim is long gone, and Zedekiah is long gone. But it takes you back to that place for a point. Why? Baruch means blessed. And, you know, you can, I don't like the word liturgical here, but I'll use it anyway. Baruch dealt heavily in liturgical duties, serving God, penmanship. Write what Jeremiah says. They tore it up, write it again. You know. And if you're not careful as a human being, boredom can set in, okay? Or you might feel, all I'm doing is just writing. I want to do something great for God, okay? The point is, always serve where God wants you to serve, okay? And be thankful He uses you. Jeremiah speaking to Baruch, blessed. Verse 2. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto thee, O Baruch. That's real special right there. God had a special message through His own prophet to this man. Not to all of Judah, not to the house of Israel, but to this man. That is awesome. That is really something. Verse 3. Thou didst say, woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Now, Baruch came, as history would have it, he came from a pretty wealthy family. And he was well educated in many ways, but here he was just described because he was well educated. But he was capable of doing a lot of things, he thought in his mind. Verse 4, thus shalt thou say unto him, the Lord saith thus, behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. Don't get real nervous and get too carried away with the importance of yourself, in other words. I have a plan. Verse 5 to complete the chapter. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Are you only interested? Watch it, Baruch. Now, I do not think Baruch was guilty of this, but I think it was installed several years later, maybe for our benefit. Okay. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Question. Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh. If you let flesh get into the act, okay, saith the Lord, but thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. And he would go with Jeremiah, even into Scotland and Ireland, and there he would be called what? By his own name, Baruch. But Jeremiah would be called Olenphala, which in the Gaelic tongue means a very wise person, a man of God. So here we have a little insert saying, even though it may be repetitious that you have to be a scribe and you repeat and you repeat, what would, you know, and it may have in Baruch's mind been kind of laborious over and over. Thank God for him, because that's why we have the Word. That's why we have these beautiful scriptures. It's because God touched that one. God used that one. He wasn't the prophet Jeremiah, but he brought forth the Word of Jeremiah, which is the Word of God. So whatever place God puts you in serving Him, it's important. It is so much of a, why wouldn't they name him Baruch blessed? Because God blessed him. Personal message. And here we reap so great rewards for reading the truth from the hand of this one. I suppose the addition and the placement of this says, pull out of nonsense and heathenism serve God in your capacity, whatever it may be, because it is extremely important. It is sure a lot better than going to hell, as some of those we've been talking about are hellbound. Serve God and be happy. All right. Hey, don't miss the next lecture. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Epistles of John, three letters written by the Apostle John, that disciple whom Jesus loved. The tenderness of John's writings is marked by the number of times he begins the exhortations and warnings with, "My little children," or "little children." In fact, "little children" is written seven times in the first epistle alone. The contents of the first epistle are practical teaching in the light of the love of God. God is life, is light, is truth, is righteous, is love, and we have fellowship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. The tenderness and love of John's writing continues in the second epistle as he encourages the elect lady and her children to love one another. He also writes, "This is love, that we walk after his commandments." After these words of encouragement, John warns us that there are many deceivers entered into the world and explains how to identify these deceivers. Don't miss this opportunity to study the Epistles of John with Pastor Arnold Murray.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. Hey, Spirit moves. You got a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular denomination, religion, reverend, individual, or organization. Let's don't judge people. You know, our Father is quite a judge. He is such a judge that he pre-warns, like in today's lecture, why do you want to destroy yourselves? All you've got to do is listen to me. He always gives those warnings, so let our Father be the judge. He'll tell you where to go, okay? And it's always good to hear from you. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now you got a prayer request. You don't need that number and you don't need an address. God knows you. It's just like he delivered that personal message to Baruch. He cares about each of us individually. We're different, unique, and he loves you. You may not love what you're doing, but you can fix that, okay? That's easy. Do it his way. Father, around the globe we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen, amen. Okay, and we'll get into some questions here. We're going to go with Molly from Connecticut. You are so welcome. We enjoy the staff and myself and the other pastors in bringing you the word. Question, since all the ones who worship Satan in the first Earth age or here in, and is it also possible that those who stood against him, that they are here too? Sure, this God's elect, the first shall be last and the last shall be first, okay? God's elect are here now to, because why? Because they earned the right, because they stood against Satan at the capital, at the overthrow. Verse 2, I really need your help. I know you can give me the answer to this one. Revelations chapter 8, verse 1, it states that the seventh seal was opened, that there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Why is it not 1 hour, if I figure this right? The hour of temptation is 5 months. Half hour is only 2.5 months. You got it right. But why is there silence in heaven for a half hour? Because Satan's kicked out. He's up there accusing, giving trouble, saying he's saying right now, God, look what Molly just did. She's serving you wonderfully well, asking the question of Shepherd's Chapel. You see, if you were to do something wrong, he is the accuser, and he would accuse you just like he did Job, okay? But why is it only a half hour? Because the next half hour, they don't have quiet there because Christ is putting together the whole army that comes here to help us finish the work in the last 2.5 months. It's time to go to work, okay? That's why. Susan from California. And I love the Lord with all my heart, mind, and soul. I would like to know if we could use the oil as a part of our daily lives. It said in the Psalms 23, in the 5th verse, that Thou anointest my head with oil. Please tell me if so. May God bless you. Well, He sure does. Of course. Hey, I highly recommend that you should cook. Do part of your cooking. It's one of the most healthiest. It's talking about olive oil. Okay. Now, don't use the anointing oil to cook with, but I mean, after you once take a vial and ask God to bless it as anointing oil, you set it aside for anointing, but you've got the rest that's pure olive oil. And it is some of the healthiest oil that you can use. It doesn't upset the body or the stomach, and it's good cooking oil, salad oil. It's good oil, period. Healthy, really healthy. So sure, it should become a part of your daily life, okay? Shirley from Tennessee, my question concerns Isaiah 45, verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. It's tumult in the Hebrew. God does not create evil, okay? He creates tumult if a person deserves it. It means I'm going to let you get yourself in trouble. And then when you try to get me to get you out of it, I'm going to ignore you for a while. If you deliberately do it, you can just forget it, okay? That's why in today's lecture he said, I'll turn my back on them. That's what they want to do? Hey, have a good trip. Bye-bye. Yvonne from Rhode Island. You speak after on Noah taking two of every flesh onto the ark. Could you explain what 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 means? Therefore, thank you and God bless you. I'd be happy to. Peter suggests that there were 8 souls on the ark. There are 8 Adamic souls, the lineage through which Christ would come. Okay? It's talking about the daughters and sons of Adam. Okay? Because why are they important? Not because they're the prettiest, the best, or the brightest, but because that's where Christ would come through. Okay? Why did God pick that particular family? They were all that was left, that the whole family had a perfect generation, which means they hadn't mixed with the fallen angels, whereby the word generation, when you take it to the prime, it's pedigree, okay? The rest were hybrids. They weren't pure. Their families had gotten all mixed up. Rocky from California. Should a person be baptized before they think they might go to heaven? A person should be baptized, period, okay? Why? Because Christ set an example for us. He forged the way. He made the way for us to follow, and He was baptized. The very Son of God, the only begotten, He was baptized to show you the way. And what does it mean? It means that you publicly make the statement in the baptism that you believe that Christ went into the tomb, but that He didn't stay there. He resurrected into eternal life and provided the light and guidance for the rest of us that we might have salvation, because He was the sacrifice of all sacrifices, Hebrews chapter 10, declaring the same. So be baptized. Any Christian can baptize another. Unless you're planning on joining a certain church, this saves you some time. You should talk to them. Terry from, I do not see where Terry is from. I really enjoy your television program and your question and answer. Thank you. On each telecast. My question is, what is God's position on organ donation? And what is His position on cremation? Well, let's take the last verse, cremation. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Instantly, this flesh goes back to dust. I mean, instantly, the soul goes to heaven. but which is the spirit, the intellect of the soul, meaning the soul. But this flesh goes back to dirt. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 lets you know that it goes in that hole in the ground. It never comes out. It's never remembered. Nobody ever knows it again. Why? It's dirt. It's organic matter. Man was created from the dirt. He goes back to the dirt. But that beautiful spiritual body that dwells inside this old thing, this flesh, is perfect. It's a beautiful, beautiful body. It doesn't get sick. It doesn't age. It doesn't wither. It's strong, and it serves God. You step into that beautiful body because you're in it already, and it returns to the Father that gave it, okay? Now, what is God's permission, position on the organ plant? You know, I think, for example, if a person, let's say we donate our eyes, and you have a person that cannot see, and while they're in their journey in the flesh, if you can give them sight, that is just precious. What a gift. There are other organs also. I see, and I do not believe that God has anything against that, okay? I do believe that everyone should have a living will, and if it came to the place where you had to have heart, lungs, a whole overhaul, I think it would be the Father telling me I needed to be with Him. He wanted me to come home and needed me. Do you understand what I mean? I think that you can overdo all things, and all things should be done in moderation. Let me hastily add, that does not mean like one kidney. If a person loses both kidneys and they're basically still pretty healthy, they're going to die in 3 days, approximately. I mean they're out of here unless they have some treatment to cleanse their blood. But if a person can give one kidney, that's moderation. Give that person life. And it doesn't even have to be from a relative. There's only about a 10% difference if it was, I won't, your doctor would tell you. Gloria from Wisconsin. Pastor Murray, what do you think about the Judas letters supposedly found in Israel? Well, when were they found? 1700. There was all kinds of junk written around 1700. You're going to have the Da Vinci Code coming out very soon. It's a lie. They even tell you it's fiction. Okay. It seems to me that Hollywood wants to, and certain writers want to destroy God's word and truth by inserting nonsense. I think it's dangerous to play with would-be scriptures to mislead laypersons that don't know any better. You know, you've got a lot of people that would say, 1,700 years old, it's got to be, legitimate. It's legitimate, it's 1,700 years old, but it's a bunch of junk, okay? Junk ages like everything else. I don't care if it's 1,700, 2,000, or 4,000 years old. Junk is still junk. So think about it. Hey, put this thing up here between your ears and gear and think for yourself. And I'm not coming down on you, Gloria. I'm talking to a bunch of people that get carried away with novels. You know what the Da Vinci Code is. It's probably there's some lawsuits going about it, but to try to say that Christ had a family that lived from, he's got a family, all right. It's a Christian family, but he had no flesh offspring. Kay from Texas. I recently began watching the Shepherd's Chapel. Well, thank you. What are you talking about when you mentioned the first Earth Age? I have long wondered how dinosaurs fit into our past history. Well, you've got enough remains of dinosaur and mammoth down in Texas, which I've done documentaries there and love it. As a matter of fact, this mammoth tooth comes from Texas, okay? And and it's heavy, okay? But naturally, there was a first Earth Age. And you know something? If people, the manuscripts declare very clearly that there was a first Earth Age. What does the word Genesis mean? It means in the beginning. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. It did not say when. And yet you'll have Bible thumpers that'll get out there and say, this Bible is 6,000 years old, this earth is 6,000 years old, and there's nothing older than that. How stupid, how ignorant can a person be? When you look around at the dinosaur remains and you know that God created this earth millions of years ago, and God's word declares it. He said in verse 2 that this earth not was void and without form. The correct translation is it became void and without form. He destroyed it. Okay? And he created it habitable. Isaiah 45:18. I created it habitable, to be inhabited. I did not create it tuhu. You need to know, everybody should learn that Hebrew word, tuhu. That means absolutely void, no good. God destroyed it. He said, I didn't create it that way. It became that way when Satan rebelled. So you have to take the blinders off. when a church or a teacher, a pastor, does not teach that there was a first age before this, it robs you of much of God's truth, because you can't explain the dinosaur remains and so on and so forth when it's very simple. God declares it. He even paints a picture of the dinosaur in the book of Job in chapter 40 in the first earth age. So it's like, when you stake a cow out, I'm going to use an analogy of a cow and a student. Okay, when you stake a cow out and you use just a 10-foot rope, this is where she can eat grass in an unfenced pasture in a 10-foot circle. That's it. She's not going to be able to get anything else. Okay. But if you put a 50-foot rope on her, she can go out 50 feet in that circle and eat. Well, if you do blinders off to let them know what happened before, you know what? Quite frankly, you don't even know why God allows Satan to tempt people. There's no way you could know. How would you understand it if you didn't know that God destroyed the first earth age, condemned Satan to die, and had each of the Elohim as children to be born to woman, innocent, to be tempted by Satan, and to have the presence of the Holy Spirit, so that that being could make their own mind up whether they would serve God or Satan? Why? He wants to save his children. He doesn't want to destroy them, which Satan almost accomplished. He destroyed a third of them, led them away from God, as it is written in Revelation chapter 12. So knowledge is a beautiful thing, and God's word is full of it. It's pregnant. It keeps giving, keeps spreading. Cedric from Arkansas, why is it that modern Christians all celebrate holidays that are infused with pagan rituals, such as Christmas and Easter? Well, they're ignorant. You know, many people say, he called them ignorant. It just means they don't know. Check the word ignorant out in Webster's dictionary. It just means they don't know any better. What other word would you want to use to be maybe more politically correct? I don't buy politically correct. I go by what's morally correct. It will offend. Going by morally correct will offend a lot of people that only do political correct. Because sometimes politically correct is a big lie, and it misleads people, unfit, like the people that we've been studying here that went to Egypt. So they don't know any better, that's why. Joanne from Texas, me and someone are in a discussion about praying for someone's soul after or when they die. I know to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, but Do you still pray for someone's soul after they die? Please document. Well, it won't do any good, really, because once they're dead, and once they're in paradise, but if you're a loved Christian, it doesn't hurt to plead with God. Maybe he'll give you a better opportunity to speak for them in the millennium. What I'm saying, it wouldn't do any harm. But a lot of people, as an example, in Isaiah chapter 15, where it says, after they're dead, you can be baptized for them. That's the way some people translate it. That's not what it says. What it says, if you think Christ is a dead man, why would you want to be baptized in his name, is what it really says. But once that old silver cord parts and a person is absent from this body and present with the Lord, it's pretty well until the millennium all sewed up. VJ from Alabama, may Yahweh continue to bless you, your family, and staff. Thank you. He sure does. God used your ministry to bring me to salvation in 1995, shortly after my wife, a true Christian, was killed by a drunk driver. Well, God bless her. We know where she is. I just purchased a companion Bible, and my trouble is that he uses Yahweh. Use another appendix. He uses it because some people do, but the sacred name is locked in the acrostics, and you'll feel a lot better about it. I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all a lot because you enjoy studying our Father's letter to you. Most of all, God loves you for it. That's what's important, okay? We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, this. You stay in his word every day. In his word is a good day. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, our Savior, the only begotten, he is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.